Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. One of the most familiar items in our homes and offices is going the way of the dodo. Effective New Year's Day, with some exceptions, a 2007 federal law outlaws manufacture and importation of 40 and 60 watt incandescent light bulbs that don't meet energy standards. Their 175-watt counterparts were phased out months ago. It's all in the name of energy efficiency. Not everyone is happy with the changes. Incandescent bulbs have been with us since Thomas Edison perfected them a century ago. On today's program, we'll talk about what critics and proponents of the change are saying, why it's happening, and what it means to us consumers. Joining me in studio is Randy Burkett, president of Randy Burkett Lighting Design and a member of the adjunct faculty of Washington University's Graduate School of Architecture. He's also an active member of the International Association of Lighting Designers. Gary Beam is president of St. Louis Antique Lighting Company and is a historic lighting consultant and a member of the Illuminating Engineering Society. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
Randy, I'll start with you and actually ask the same question to each of you. Give me your view, if you would, of this change.
Well, as a lighting designer, we've seen this change coming for some time. Back in the early part of this past decade, the writing was on the wall, and that the incandescent lamp was going to be phased out at some point. And finally, in 2007, legislation was enacted by the federal government that began the process of phasing out the major, I'll call them major incandescent lamps, the kind that consumers might see in their homes. And a lot of the ones that we use as professional designers and commercial projects as well. And there's no question that the impetus for this was energy. And we all want to save energy, certainly, and that's an important part of being a design professional of what we do in our design practice. However, there was a sprint to get this done, and so we're now at a point where there is some collateral issues that we're dealing with, and people didn't realize they were going to happen, and that's something that is going to be with us now for some time in the transition.
But it's going to take a little time, actually, for the this latest round to really be implemented, because there are a lot of bulbs out there that have been previously manufactured.
Yes, there are a lot of bulbs or lamps, as we call them in our profession, that are on the shelves or are still available. It's not illegal to buy them. You're not going to see somebody on the street corner with a trench coat with incandescent lamps under them. But
not yet, anyway.
Well, not yet. Maybe 10 years from now, that'll be it. But yes, there are quite a few of them. We're already starting to see the repercussions of this in our design work, because we have to think about our clients' future and how they're going to maintain their projects in something that we specify.
Gary, same question to you. Given your approach from the antique lighting perspective, your thoughts about the change?
Well, like Randy said, we've seen this change coming for quite some time. When I first started the antique lighting business in the early 70s, everyone used incandescent lamps. But that changed. It changed. Energy efficiency has always been a concern. From everybody who wants to just pinch a penny to the government getting involved and creating things like the L Prize, which was a $10 million prize for an energy efficient lamp that could, for example, be an equivalent to the 60 watt incandescent lamp that we all are talking about today. Philips happened to win that with their Endura lamp, that $10 million prize, and so we as lighting manufacturers have had to make and Randy as a designer have had to make those accommodate ourselves to those changes, which not only the government requires, but just buyers, owners, people want to save money on their electric bills. So they've been demanding that energy efficiency for quite some time.
Well, one of the things I think we have to be careful to point out is that the incandescent lamp has not been totally banned if, in fact, it can meet the energy standards that have been established. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's basically correct. The energy standards or the Energy Act in 2007 did not say you shall not make incandescent lamps. It established thresholds of efficiency for light sources, which effectively is getting rid of many of the classic incandescent filament bulbs or lamps. So technically, they're still here. And especially, there are some that have been designed to be more efficient, things called halogen. And maybe we'll talk about that one later.
Yeah, I did want to talk, and let's get to that right away, about what the alternatives are to the incandescent lamp and the most popular alternatives right now. Do you want to take that, Andy?
Well, I'll start. And yeah. I'm sure Gary will have want to chime in. As a designer, a lighting designer, where we design the full visual environment for projects, we work with a variety of light sources. And oftentimes incandescent is a good choice because of light control, color, dimmability, other aspects, the warmth of the source. And now that those are being phased out, there is actually another incandescent option that is very similar, and it's called halogen, which is quite factually incandescent, but its design is such that it burns hotter and more efficient, so it can meet those efficiency standards at the moment. Eventually, even that lamp will probably cease to exist, but for the moment, it's fully available and can be used. Other sources that the most popular sources you hear for incandescent replacements are compact fluorescent and the one that you hear on everyone's lips now, LED, solid-state light sources, which are replacing a lot of the traditional incandescent applications.
Right. But the compact fluorescent has a problem associated with it, Gary, mm-hmm. that being that it contains mercury.
It does, very, very small amounts and should properly be recycled. But they aren't going away very quickly because of as Randy will address, I'm sure, they're so energy efficient. LEDs are going to take over even compact fluorescents over time as they improve in technology. But temporarily, as an example, we just did a project at St. Ambrose where we used a combination of LEDs and compact fluorescents because the light distribution of the long tube compact fluorescents in vertical light fixtures, historic tall church fixtures, the distribution is still much better than can be produced with what's on the market now in LEDs. And to add to Randy's comments about incandescent lighting and the fact that it's not going away, the government is smart. They have figured out. Yeah, I know that's that makes us all smile.
Yeah, right.
They do some things right. I mean, like this L Prize was a wonderful idea. They use some of our good tax money to make people think about how to save money. They're doing the same thing, for example, with the X Prize in spaceflight.
Sure.
But when we get back to the light bulbs, they're not going to make all the bulbs go away. So they looked at what bulbs do the most people in the whole United States use? And they found out that there's 971 million A19 60-watt lamps currently in use. And they did the math on how many watts that was and how much money could be saved if they went to, for example, a matching 15-watt. So it's only one-fourth of the electricity times 971 million. And if you do the lumens per watt and the cost per kilowatt, the savings over 20 years is $250 billion.
But what about the illumination, the light? Is there as much light?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, there is. The compact fluorescence, for example, a 15-watt compact fluorescent puts out the same amount of light as a 60-watt incandescent. People will say, yes, but it doesn't look as nice. Well, I would agree with that. Yeah. It doesn't look as nice. The old carbon filament, yellow incandescent lamps that Edison perfected, as you said, are still prettier than probably anything that's on the market. And those decorative lamps, what the public should know is those decorative lamps are not going away. They're called B lamps or they're still Edison-based or candelabra-based lamps, clear or frosted. Those have not been outlawed. The 60-watt and 75-watt, 100-watt lamps, A19 lamps, have been outlawed. Mm-hmm. Yes. But these decorative lamps will continue to be available over time, but they'll be a specialty item.
Well, I have a list here, exceptions to this ban. I'll use that word, although it's not exact. The specialty bulbs, the three-way refrigerator bulbs, chandelier bulbs. A lot of people are concerned about that. Let me get back, Randy, to the quality of the light. This seems to be a major issue. Are we going to be looking at bright white light everywhere? Mm-hmm. Well, it's, except in the refrigerator, perhaps.
Well, so yes, we can just crawl in there if it gets bad. The light source, compact fluorescent, it was introduced, of course, almost two decades ago. And there was a many of the early lamps, frankly, came from offshore. It was highly competitive, some of the people who have now left the market. And immediately people said, well, they're green, they're blue-green, they're horrible, my skin looks like I'm dead. And you heard those comments all the time. And gradually those fell away and a better quality compact fluorescent emerged. So in terms of wattage, much better, much more efficient. In terms of output, better than incandescent, no question. The qualitative aspect really depends on the application. Is it applicable in perhaps a warehouse? Probably. Is it applicable in someone's boudoir? Maybe not. So like any light source, its application is important to understanding whether it's applicable and will service your needs. LEDs are now hitting the market, and they're becoming a very strong source from a designer's perspective and ultimately the user's perspective. Unfortunately, they're a little higher cost now, and that's a bit of an issue. But I think a lot of the qualitative aspects of compact fluorescent, certainly the light color, and even with the LED, where we've heard some of the similar complaints, are being overcome by the technology now. And proper application, I think they will be just fine in most of our applications.
We had just had a phone call, and the caller had to leave while we're talking about exceptions. She was going to ask about the three-way light bulb, and the three-way light bulb is remains with us as the incandescent lamp, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's correct. Right.
What about, again, going back to antique lighting? I mean, the quality of the light, Gary, would be very, very important to maintain that
right.
feel.
Yes.
So what are you going to do?
Well, let's go back to a brief discussion about the Thomas Edison lamps. The reason that they were pretty was originally they were only 7 to 9 or 11 watts, and you could actually see the carbon filament burning and glowing. And those types of lamps were so pretty that they didn't even – when the Edison lamps were first made and people switched from gas here in St. Louis to electric lamps, they exposed the lamps until about 1920. Lamps were exposed. What happened was they got too bright. In 1913, when the tungsten filament was starting to be used more often, the lamps got bright enough that they created glare. So these clear lamps then were frosted so they wouldn't be glaring so much. But they were still too bright, so there were shades put around them. So what happens now? When you talk about antique lighting, if you're talking about bare lamps that are on a chandelier, those are not going away. But as Randy said, there are some really good in the last year or two, there are some really good LED. People have worked hard to achieve that little bit of bling and that yellow color, and they're very, very close. There's a brand new lamp out that we just got in our factory last week from a new company, and it has the closest yellow color to an incandescent lamp that we've ever seen. And we put it right next to a 40-watt incandescent, and check the color temperature, and we could not tell the difference.
Is it true that the first bulb, the Edison bulb, is still burning? And I know it was as of a couple of years ago.
I don't know. It's a bit of folklore, I think.
Well, one point I want to make, too, before we go to our break, which we have to do, is the fact that we like a little bit of that yellow in our lighting because it's more flattering, right?
It's warm. It makes your skin look nice.
Right. Yeah. Doesn't show all the wrinkles. Let's face it. We have to take a break. We'll do that now. We'll get another perspective when we come back. My guests in studio are Randy Burkett, president of Randy Burkett Lighting, and Gary Beam, president of the St. Louis Antique Lighting Company. Back in just a moment, we'll continue our conversation on the change, the phase-out, if you will, of many incandescent light lamps. I'll have to get used to saying lamp instead of bulb with my two guests in studio here. I'll try to do that. Gentlemen, we'll be back in just a moment. And if you have questions regarding this change, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can also write us an email, if you will, at talk at STL, stlpublicradio.org. We'll take a tweet at STL on air. Back in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to our conversation as we talk about the phase-out of the incandescent light lamp. We'll continue that conversation in just a moment, but here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio and the Beacon Newsroom are following today. Republican leaders hoping to restrict union powers led a rally this morning of about 100 people as Missouri legislators returned to the Capitol. Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder and House Speaker Tim Jones are pushing a measure that would make Missouri a right-to-work state where union fees cannot be a condition of employment. Republican leaders in the Senate don't share the enthusiasm, and Democratic Governor Jay Nixon has said he would veto the bill. And the most recent numbers from the Centers for Disease Control's STD surveillance report shows the rates of gonorrhea and chlamydia in the St. Louis area are decreasing. Per capita rates of the disease in St. Louis have consistently been first or second in the nation. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to that conversation about the phase-out of the incandescent light bulb. I have with me in studio Randy Burkett, president of Randy Burkett Lighting, and Gary Beam, president of St. Louis Antique Lighting. We're being joined now by Nick Levere, who is the energy efficiency advisor for Ameren, Illinois, which conducts home energy audits, by the way. Nick, thanks so much for being with us. I know you've been listening to the earlier part of the conversation. Give me your take on what this change is going to mean to you and yours over there at Ameren, Illinois.
Well, it's meant a lot. With the change in the lighting, a lot of our customers are finally being forced to use the CFLs that a lot of them had been resistant to. A lot of people didn't really want to make that change. They like that warm and fuzzy incandescent light bulb and were a little bit resistant to the CFLs. But ever since the legislation came into play, a lot of them have kind of accepted the CFLs with open arms, and we offer a lot of great incentives through the Act on Energy programs, and it's really helped kind of ease the path for them.
What are you hearing about the concerns over mercury content in the CFLs?
You know, that was a very, very big concern a few years ago, really, when the programs first launched. That was, you used to hear all kinds of horror stories about, you know, a bulb breaking and a lady having to evacuate her home and all kinds of tales like that, and really those have kind of died down. The industry has done a really good job of tamping down those stories, and really I think customer awareness has done a great job of really telling the truth about the amount of mercury in the bulbs, and it's really just such a minuscule amount. As long as people are smart about it and clean up in a quick way, it's not going to really cause much harm.
Do you have any sense of what the difference in cost for consumers is going to be when this change is affected?
Yeah. Well, the change has been affected, and with the bulbs themselves, I mean, basically, if you change a bulb in your home, the basic cost is changing an incandescent to a CFL will basically save you about $40 over the bulb's lifetime. So that equates to about $6 a year. So they say the average household has around 30 bulbs in it, give or take. So that's about how much it'll cost if you do the math.
Yeah, the change has been affected, but there are an awful lot of people who are holding on to incandescents that they've been purchasing over the last months.
Yeah.
There's been some hoarding going on.
There is, yeah. My, I don't want to throw him out there, but my father, he's kind of been hesitant to make the change himself, and I've been trying very hard to get him on the CFL bandwagon. But a lot of people are resistant to making the change to the twisties, as they call them. But you know, the industry has done such a good job in just the past 3 and 4 years changing the style of the CFLs. So they just don't have to focus on the twisties anymore. They have round spherical CFLs now. They have CFLs to deal with that mercury problem. They have CFLs with rubber bulbs around them. So if you smash the CFLs, the mercury will be contained within that rubber bulb. So they're a little bit more costly, but as with anything, as time goes on, the cost will come down, and as with that, the fear will go down as well.
It seems to me that a rather significant education campaign is going to have to be gotten into here because consumers really don't know a CFL from an LED or from a lot of different things, at least at this point. What sort of an education campaign are you folks doing?
Well, we have been doing quite a significant campaign for the last several years. We do bill inserts every month in our bills. We have billboards. We have all kinds of stuff going out from Ameren, Illinois, and we have lighting clinics where we have a lighting program here at Ameren, Illinois, and that's where we sell incentivize our discounted bulbs. And through this program, we basically market our incentives and talk about the UCFLs and the good things about them and how they're not harmful and what they can do for you and how they're good compared to incandescents. And basically, the consumer's not really going to have a choice as far as the market's concerned, because once these incandescents are gone, they're going to have to go to the CFL. So we're really trying to ease that passage for them and help them to understand that it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing, and really it's going to save them money in the long run. So this is a good thing. There's lots of opportunities for them. There's lots of choices for them, so they don't have to get that glaring bright white you were talking about earlier.
Before I let you go, and let me bring the gentleman in the studio here into the conversation. Everybody seems to be talking primarily about CFLs. Is that where it's going? I mean, is that going to become the dominant lamp in the future, do you think, Randy?
Well, I think initially the rush will be for CFL, I believe. There aren't enough LED lamp types out there to fulfill the needs of the consumers and even designers from that standpoint. So I believe there'll be a swell of CFL usage and application. Having said that, ultimately, I think they'll be completely replaced someday by solid-state LED sources.
Agree, Gary?
I would agree with that. I would mention a couple things. The LED, that's already happening, I think. I was in one of the big box stores this last weekend and talked to the guy who was taking out all of these incandescent lamps. And he was replacing those with 40, 60, and I believe a new 75-watt equivalent LED. And the price for the Philips Endura lamp when it first came out was around $27, I think, on the retail side. That price for a 40-watt equivalent or a 60-watt equivalent is now down to $12. And I think what is going to happen is that, as Randy said, and Ameren is pointing out, that there will be a rush to compact fluorescents because they're the most available on the market, and they're still $2. You can get a 60-watt equivalent for about $1.78, and if you're buying, you can buy them in packs of three. And as the gentleman mentioned, you know, they don't have to look like the spiral. They can have a white envelope around them. So you're still looking at $2 or less versus $12. But I would predict that in the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to see those numbers fall.
Nick, anything you want to add before we have to say goodbye to you?
I would completely agree with those gentlemen. Even though the CFLs are great and very cost-effective right now, the industry is definitely moving to solid-state lighting and LEDs. They last longer. They're more effective. And so in the long run, I think that they will be taking over as the dominant force. But thank you very much for having me. I appreciate you giving me a chance to talk about the...
Before you get away, I just was reminded about the energy audits that you perform over there and the fact that this can have some financial bonuses for your consumers.
Yes. I have to clarify, this is for the Ameren, Illinois customers.
Right.
Ameren, Missouri has separate programs. But for our Ameren, Illinois customers, we do have a home performance with Energy Star program. It's a $50 energy audit where a BPI-certified energy auditor will come to your home, spends anywhere from an hour to 2 hours, does a visual inspection of your home using a thermal imaging camera. He'll install CFLs in your high-use areas, put new faucet aerators in, high-performance shower heads. Those things alone cost over $80, but he installs all that stuff at your home while doing the inspection. So at the end of the inspection, he'll print out a computer analysis and basically tell you the things he found throughout your home that are problem areas and the different things you can do in order to improve the efficiency of your home. And then from there, the customer can decide whether they want to move forward or not and go to the next level and either get new insulation and air sealing or get a new, more efficient furnace or air conditioner or so on and so forth.
Is there some sort of a rebate that's available through all of this?
Yeah, they're actually incentives that come right off the bill. So we have a select group of program allies that work through the programs. They're all our program allies, again, are BPI certified. And when the customer signs up and goes through the program, that their cost comes right off the top of the bill. So there's no rebate. It comes directly off the cost of their bill.
All works out the same way.
Yes.
Nick LeVere, thank you so much for being with us from Ameren, Illinois. Thanks for your input in today's program. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Before we move to the phones, we have a number of calls, not unexpectedly. Anything that you heard from Nick, gentlemen, that you'd want to respond to?
I want to just mention one thing. Whether it's CFL or LED or even another source for that matter, whether you're a consumer or a building owner or someone who facility person who deals with light sources, ask questions about them. They're not just give me another medium-based lamp and I'll be fine. Ask questions. Are they dimmable? If you're dimming your lights in your dining room, all of a sudden you put in compact fluorescent. If it's not the right one, it's going to flicker and it's not going to dim. Also, color rendering qualities, color appearance, the size may not even fit in your new or your old existing products. It might stick out of the ceiling and be glary. So there, you have to sort of caveat emptor. You have to understand that it's a one-for-one replacement, but it may not perform the same.
I'm sure there'll be in the packaging. They will tell you what the equivalent bulb would have been to the incandescent lamp, if you will.
They do that. Tell you that on the packaging. But Randy's made a very good point, because even though they tell you this stuff, the point about mechanical size, if you have to look, pay attention to the details. Mm-hmm. The devil's in the details.
What about fixtures? Are we going to have to change fixtures as well?
No, I don't believe so, because the retrofit lamps that are coming out fit the Edison-based sockets and the candelabra-based sockets.
All right, let's go to the phones. A number of calls. We'll start with Edie, who was the first to call. Edie, go ahead with your question or comment.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a comment. And it's not about cosmetic stuff. It's not about being warm and fuzzy with incandescent bulbs. It's about seeing. Anybody who has a visual impairment is at a disadvantage with LED, CFL, halogen, any of those. It makes it very difficult to see, and it causes such eye strain that you become tired. So I think that, we're going to go to these bulbs, but I think who's ever designing the bulbs needs to go back and take into consideration anybody that has a visual impairment, especially glaucoma.
Edie, thank you so much for the call. Well, she puts a new wrinkle into it. I hadn't heard this before. Is this something you gentlemen are aware of or deal with?
From a design standpoint, we hear this quite a bit from our clients. And it's not just the comparison of incandescent to other light sources, but light sources in general. And oftentimes, the problems are less noticeable with lower output incandescent sources. With LED and compact fluorescent, issues of visual clarity, a light scattering in the eye, glare becomes more of a problem with those sources because they are so efficient and so powerful. So it's really part of it is the application of those sources and understanding how to use them in order to avoid those problems.
We'll take a call now from Festus and Kathy, who has another question relating to cost. Go ahead, Kathy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I would like to ask your guests, who's saving all these billions of dollars? Where are these savings going to be? Is this like the government or us? Because the cost of those bulbs is unbelievable.
All righty. Thanks for the call. Go ahead, Gary.
It's a really good question, because what she's bringing up is the most important thing related to the problem, which is the cost of the LEDs, as I mentioned, is $12 versus $2 for a compact fluorescent versus, let's say, $1 for an incandescent. So In the end, though, I believe that we will all benefit. You will benefit from the cost savings, especially as the LED cost drops significantly over the next few years. Right now, you would save a lot of money on your electric bills by switching to compact fluorescents. If you got a nice 3,000K, 2,700K lamp, 60-watt equivalent, and used that, you'd be saving 75% on that lamp and multiply that times all the lamps in your house, and that'll tell you what the savings is per year. So you're going to save money.
We have an email from Gavin saying here, along with what you've just said, please do not encourage people to hoard incandescent lamps. There's a good reason to use LED light. They save you a lot of money and electricity, which is the point that you have just made here. Let's get another call in before we have to take the break. I want to bring in Gary calling from St. Louis. Go ahead, Gary. You're on the air.
Yeah, I've been an early adopter and have used CFLs probably for over 10 years and have been using LEDs for a couple of years. But two things that I'm wondering about if they're going to fix, because the one thing, especially now with LEDs, they're heavy physically. And I've got some fixtures that are designed for the old incandescent bulb, which is very lightweight, and they just can't handle. And I'm not talking about candelabra. I'm talking like wall fixtures, which would take a normal bulb shape. The other is safety. I've had at least a couple of CFLs that have melted while they were in the fixture. They're a little bit older, so maybe it's just something that was working out the kinks, but I'm wondering if your folks are aware of such problems continuing or if they've even been addressed. Thanks.
All righty. Let's go ahead, Randy. Take
sure.
That one.
First, the LED. The weight is due to one thing, and that is heat dissipation. Even though LEDs use less energy and, frankly, they're not even hot to the touch, they have to dissipate even very minor amounts of heat from the back of the LED boards. So that's why you have typically metal heat sinks and lots of surface area and mass to bring that heat out of the light source itself. Unfortunately, that's going to be with this source as we move forward. However, since they're becoming more efficient, there'll be lower wattage and there'll be less heat to dissipate, so they will become lighter. With regards to compact fluorescent, chances are that application the gentleman was talking about was in a light fixture that was providing too much heat to the base of the fluorescent source and its junction point, and probably failure was due to that. Unfortunately, a lot of these retrofits, lamps go into places where incandescents were just fine. They thrive on heat, whereas compact fluorescent and LED do not.
I have some emails here. I'd like to get very quick answers to these questions before we take our break. Martha writes, I collect vintage lamps, 40s and 50s. Can new bulbs be used in them? Gary?
Yes, they can, if they have the same bases, which I would presume they would.
Same bases?
The base of the lamp, base the candelabra lamp base or the Edison base, it's called.
Okay.
It's a standard base for standard light fixture.
Joe writes, some uses for incandescent lights include using them as a source of heat. What solutions will there be for these applications? We don't need five or six different kinds of low-grade warmers. Is that a...
Well, yes, they do produce more heat, and normally that's a negative. Occasionally it might be a positive, and they do make heat lamps and specialty lamps if you truly need them for heat. Otherwise, you might have to find a blanket.
That's
okay.
Right.
And quickly from Rick here, CFLs don't work in winter weather. Well, LED lamps are another type of bulb I should call it a lamp, work better in cold environments.
LEDs work much better in cold environments. The colder it is, the better they like it.
Yeah. They thrive.
And CFLs don't.
That's right. They don't. Yeah.
Okay. Well, our next guest coming after the break, we'll be happy to hear that response from you gentlemen and also the question. Well, he manufactures LED lamps. So we'll get to him in just a moment. We'll have to take a break. We're talking about the phase out of incandescent lamps. My guests in studio, Randy Burkett and Gary Beam. We'll be back with them and with another guest following the break. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again. Welcome back to our conversation. We're talking today about the phase-out of the incandescent lamp. And my guests in studio, Randy Burkett, president of Randy Burkett Lighting, Gary Beam, president of St. Louis Antique Lighting, and we're being joined now by Craig Cook, the owner of the New Future Energy in Barnhart, Missouri. His company manufactures LED lights. That began after the 2007 law that we mentioned earlier. He services the city of De Pere, Lumiere Place, and others. And, Craig, it's very nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Mr. Marsh. How are you this afternoon?
Doing just great. Thank you. We've been talking. I hope you've heard part of the discussion, and a lot of it is focused on the CFL lamps. But most recently, folks are talking about the prospects in the future for those that you manufacture, the LED lights. How do you see the prospects for LED in the future?
To tell you the truth, it looks to me like that's the direction it will be going. I did hear some of the feedback and pitfalls that people have found with LEDs. And what our company mainly, when I started the company, what I tried to do was address those issues. One gentleman mentioned the weight of the LEDs, and I think one of your guests were speaking, I think it was Gary, was talking about the heat dissipation, which is the heat sink for it. So we've addressed those issues. We can make them smaller, brighter, and the industry evolves so rapidly, and they do address these factors. So we've pretty much taken care of those issues.
What about cost?
The cost for us, because, I deal mainly in a commercial end. That's what I care to address, because not that I pick on them, but they are the biggest wasters of energy with all these high wattage bulbs that they have to use. We currently have demos down at Inter Park, which is stadium parking east and west. And, you know, those guys have to burn them 24/7. So when they're burning a 100-watt lamp and I can offer them a 20-watt that will last longer, lower maintenance, and it just serves their purposes a lot better.
What about indoor and outdoor lighting? Is there really any difference, or one type of lamp is better than another for that?
Yeah, you have to be pretty specific, because the indoor lighting isn't going to be sealed and, they'd be permeable to weather.
Another question that's come up during the course of the program has been the quality of the light, the texture of the light, if you will. What are you hearing about that, and more importantly, what are you seeing?
Well, now, that is the issue that I ran into when I first started getting into this. The off-the-shelf lighting that most of our suppliers around here have doesn't meet the needs of the customer, especially in a commercial venue. So what we've decided to do is basically go with dimmable versions across the board and more light than what anyone would need. That way they can dim it down to the light. You know, it's better to have more than less.
Well, let me be sure that I'm understanding this now. You mentioned the word dimmable. I was under the impression that with the new lighting, the new generation, that dimming was going to be an issue, and that this is one of the criticisms people had of the loss of the incandescent lamp.
No, sir. That is an add-on that we put on drivers. We've got it down to basically, I mean, we like to say, if you can plug it in and it lights up, we can make it. And even the lower wattage lighting, which was the problem for the dimmable version, because, of course, it has a driver in it, and the driver is, you know, X size, say. And that is another issue with the size of the lamp. So we pretty much got that issue taken care of also.
You know, I think I know the answer to this next question, but is everybody happy with what you're providing them?
Oh, well, absolutely, because I customize the lamp that they need. You know, a lot of people aren't happy with, like I say, the off-the-shelf version, and they ask me, especially like River City had an issue with some lamps that were way up in the ceiling. They were can lamps. And the LEDs that they were that they had available here were just too large to fit in the fixture. And I think there was another gentleman earlier who had made mention of that. And we made a version that was dimmable, that was just perfect for what they needed. And not only that, we managed to get a higher lumen output for them.
Just a final question for you. How much have you increased production? And Pat, you started in 2007, as I understand it. How much has production increased over the last months, perhaps?
We actually started in late 2008, 2009. I started doing my research in 2007, though. Yes, it's, you know, pretty much along those lines. We have probably tripled.
All right. Well, that's a sign of the time. Sure. Do either of you gentlemen here in the studio have any questions for Craig?
Well, I just wanted to mention, Craig talked about dimming, and he's right with LEDs. If the drivers, which is an electronic device that matches up with the LED source. If the drivers and the dimmers are well aligned and matched technically, you shouldn't have a problem dimming. I think the problem is occurring where people are buying off-the-shelf LED products and using them with conventional dimming, and they don't often get the results they hope to. But what Craig is doing is ideal, where you can customize or at least make the application, the source fit the application.
Craig, I want to thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations.
Mr. Marsh, if I may, yeah. The CFLs and the PFLs that have been mentioned, they have a large base. Well, those also have what is known as a ballast in the base. That's why they're so large. And LEDs are pretty much along the same lines. And someone else did make mention they are dangerous. They do catch fire.
Well, that's good.
The ballast in the CFLs does go bad, and it will ignite.
Well, that'll help with the warmth issue, the other gentleman.
I want to back away from that one, but that's just something else to worry about. But people are freaked out over this change, and that hearing something like that is not, going to play very well. Craig Cook of New Future Energy in Barnhart, Missouri, thanks so much for being with us. Nice talking to you.
I appreciate you having me, Mr. Marsh. You guys have a good afternoon.
Same,
God bless you.
Same to you. Let's go back to the phones. We have a number of callers. Let's get as many in as we can. Mike in Webster Groves, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Don. Thanks. And I'm sort of an early adopter, too, a lot of times. I started cooking with induction plates about 4 years ago, just as a lark, and it is much more efficient than cooking with hot plates or gas. My thought was, when I was hearing about this lighting, is there any way of using induction to create light on the horizon, or is that just something crazy idea I came up with?
Go ahead, Gary.
It's very interesting that you figured that out. Induction lighting has been around for probably two decades. It uses a high-frequency generator instead of a standard ballast. It's a compact fluorescent source. The recent technological advances in induction lighting have gotten to the point that they're making standard-based lamps that, just like an Edison A19 light bulb, that are actually induction lamps. And they have 100,000 – the big thing about induction lighting is that it has 100,000 hour lamp life. It's probably the most efficient in terms of lamp life lighting that's on the market today.
I don't think we've talked about the life of these various bulbs, the LEDs or the CFLs or the halogen. What can we expect from these?
Well, just as looking at the whole collection of lamps, a classic incandescent lamp will last somewhere between 750 and 1,000 hours. A halogen incandescent could be 2,000 to 3,000 hours. A compact fluorescent could be anywhere from 12 to 14,000. But when we get to LEDs, we're looking anywhere from 25 to 50,000 hours of life under normal conditions.
So that certainly puts a new light, if you'll pardon. It wasn't intended as a pun, but I suppose it was interpreted that way. It puts a new light on the LED, certainly, if you can get that kind of usage out of them. Back to the phones. David in Bourbon, Missouri, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you so much. I'm interested in information on converting these old school 12-volt bulbs that are in my RV, with the pins on them, to LEDs. I love that idea. Is that going to require changing the fixtures? Anything on the horizon there? I have not checked out my local RV dealer. I know there's a big show coming up this weekend in the city. And so, yeah, any LED conversions out there for 12-volt incandescent lamps?
Thanks, David.
There are not really, unfortunately. It's a fairly small market, frankly, and technology is difficult to put behind that kind of miniaturized source without a lot of research and development. So it's hard to find that, and frankly, although there are a few out there, they're not to the point where I would suggest using them. So I think you've got a ways to go before you'd be replacing those one for one.
Let's bring in Larry calling from Bell-Nor. Go ahead, Larry.
Was wondering about whether LEDs flicker the way fluorescents do, because for decades it's been illegal to use fluorescent lights in a machine shop because the strobe effect can make rotating machinery look like it's standing still. And people have been injured and even killed by walking into rotating machinery in machine shops, so they are obliged to use incandescents that don't flicker. How is this new technology going to affect that?
Do we have an answer? Go ahead, Gary. Well,
I don't have an answer, but I understand the problem. And he's exactly right that at least was an issue. I don't know that it still is on the new technology. But I know the cycling on a semiconductor LED is so fast. I mean, it's like looking at an LED TV screen. So the human eye isn't going to be able to see that strobe effect the way he's talking about it. On the lower frequencies where you can, but I would doubt that it would be an issue of – you know, I haven't heard of it other than what you've just mentioned.
Yeah, I would only add that when dimming LEDs, occasionally you'll run into flicker at the low end.
Right.
Again, with mismatched dimmers and so forth.
All right. Let's continue with these phone calls. Good questions here. Rachel in St. Louis. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. On my table lamps, there's each lamp has a label inside that says something like designed for use with bulbs of a wattage up to 75 watts or something like that. And I want to know if the same wattage standards or equivalents apply to using CFLs and LED bulbs, or if you can exceed that.
Yeah, Gary. Oh, yeah, you won't be able to exceed that. The LED lamps that are currently available at the big box stores don't exceed 13 watts. So what the UL standard, as I recall, says for manufacturers is that if you, for example, if we put a UL label on a socket that says not to exceed 60 watts, there isn't anything on the market in an LED that would be 60 watts. So as long as you're not exceeding the wattage label, mm-hmm. you're safe. But okay. You're actually much more safe with the LEDs because they're so cool. You can actually take let's say a 12 or 13 watt LED and when it's lit and hold it in your hand, and it just barely feels warm. If you did that with an incandescent 60 watt, you'd burn your fingers.
While we're talking about terms, let's take a quick call. It has to be very quick from Matt, who wants one term explained or one word explained. Go ahead, Matt, but make it quick, please.
Okay, the new term lumens. How many lumens is, say, 100 watts off-white incandescent bulb?
Okay, lumen is not a new term. It's probably maybe new to the basic consumer, but lumen has to do with output of a source. So the old 100-watt incandescent lamps had about 1,800 lumens, for example.
And
so you ought to look at the lumen outputs and compare them with the incandescent lamps you were using. That information is online as well.
Thank you.
Right, to answer your question? Well, time is starting to get away. I'll ask each of you gentlemen to kind of wrap this up. I know a lot of people are confused out there, and I think that's been indicated by some of the calls we've had. There's a lot for folks to learn. Randy, let me start with you. What's your best advice to the consumer?
Well, I think there's the emergence of LED light sources is one that this is not a fad. This will eventually occupy all our homes, our offices, and probably 70 to 90% of the applications in our lives will be LED at some point. So the compact fluorescent is around yet for a while, and I think it's when understanding its strengths and weaknesses, purchasing and using those, it's just fine, and understanding issues of color and dimming and so forth. But ultimately, I think come to embrace the LED source. Understand, again, what are its strengths and weaknesses. Where do you try them in different locations and see how they work for you? Because, frankly, even though they're going to save wattage, you have to know what is it going to do to your visual environment.
And the prices are coming down. A final thought from you, Gary Bean.
I would concur with what Randy said. I'd just add a couple of things for the consumer. One is that these things don't go out like regular bulbs. They gradually get dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. So what happens is Pay attention to the LEDs if you're using them. And when they get to the point where you're not seeing properly, replace them. And go ahead and clean that light fixture, even though you don't have to replace the lamps.
All right. Well, lots to learn, but there is a little time here. A final email from Carol here I'd like to read as we close. I bought a 1939 house in South St. Louis in 95. After a few years, I noticed the light bulb on the back porch had never burned out. Upon closer inspection, it was a clear bulb with a visible filament. I think it may be very old. I sold the house to my daughter and told her to take care of the light bulb. The light bulb is still burning. Do I have a collector's item? Well, perhaps she does.
She does.
All right, gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Randy Burke and Gary Beam, thank you for being with us. And Craig Cook and Nick Levere, thank you also for joining us during the course of this program. Our show today was partly informed by people in our Public Insight Network. For more information about this network and to join, visit our website at stlpublicradio.org and find a link at the bottom right hand of the page. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll take a look at the differences in outcomes in the justice system between those who have the means to pay for expert legal services and for those who don't. Archive versions of this program are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. It's a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks for listening. I'm Don Marsh.